This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank Sasso coming at you from A History with God Ministries. Welcome to all of our listeners, our members, our subscribers, and especially the people we love welcoming for the first time, our first-time listeners. I have a special treat for you today. With me is James Okore. Now, you may not know the name James Okore, but you may know his YouTube channel, Youth Avenue TV. That's right. James, welcome, my man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
How you feeling? You're looking good today. I wish the listeners could see you. People can see you on Youth Avenue TV on YouTube. Go to his YouTube channel. Don't go right now. Hang on a minute. Relax. Wait till after the podcast.
It's good to relax.
And then you can go and check out Youth Avenue TV. Check that out, and you can kind of see what I mean by James looking good. James always looks sharp. And Christina and I got to be on your show 2 weeks ago now.
Yep.
That was a lot of fun.
Absolutely was. I feel like it was the best interview that we've had so far, just because it was so electric. Every minute of it was so engaging. And totally enjoyed it. We're excited about what God spoke through that interview, because everything that came out was actually informative. It was funny. Mm. It was emotional. It was all the good stuff combined.
I was so encouraged by the quality.
Right.
You got to see this interview if you haven't already.
Right.
The quality alone. If you saw their setup, you wouldn't believe that what you were watching was in the setup they have. I'm not going to ruin it by telling you how it's set up, but I'll tell you what. It was run professionally. You had like sort of a green room set up for us. You had snacks in there while we were waiting for the set to be organized. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what, man. You have a TV studio in your future. You really do.
We see that. That's what we've been living for.
Well, what's the vision? But how did Youth Avenue TV get started? What's the origin of that?
We were in prayer about November of last year, and believing God to speak to us about reaching out to the youth.
Okay.
Because we've always had youth at heart.
Well, now when you say youth, do you mean believers or the youth, the lost?
Primarily the lost.
Okay.
And eventually believers, because believers need discipline and need nourishment and all the good stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
So exhorting and empowering believers as well. Mm-hmm. And so in prayer, the Holy Spirit did minister to us that in 2013 to launch Youth Avenue. And so we kind of went on a planning and kind of like a vision casting of about 2 months and just looking into what God will speak in detail for 2013.
Gotcha.
And right into the year, you know, we kind of put down like a plan of how we're going to start like, you know, reaching out to youth. And, you know, we started like a phone conference. Every Tuesdays we have it.
Really?
Yep. From 8 to 9.
You still do that now?
We still do that now.
Praise the Lord.
And, you know, we have teenagers calling in, high school kids calling in and just sharing about how their week was and sharing about what Jesus is doing in their life.
That's awesome. I didn't know you did that.
There's a lot of things we do that we actually don't even get a chance to talk about.
Oh, man.
But that's, yeah.
That's so great.
It's great because now we're seeing high school kids that otherwise wouldn't talk about Jesus getting that chance to feel free, because they know this is a youth thing and the God that's doing it loves them, cares for them, and it's very relaxed. It's laid back but effective.
Okay.
Because they get to express what's going on. They get to pray as well with us. They get to share their prayer requests.
This is all on the phone?
This is all on the phone. It's for an hour. It's been going very well so far in 2013, and it will continue to go well. Plus, we've been having overnights. So we'd have like a overnight prayer meeting where we'd just come together at one of the houses in the group, and we'll just pray from about maybe 10 p.m. to like 3 a.m. or 5 a.m. on a Friday night, every first Friday of the month.
Wait a second. Every first Friday of the month, you have an overnight prayer meeting at somebody's house. You pray from 10 to 3 in the morning?
Yep.
You're praying for 5 hours?
Yep. In between, you know, you'd have some talks, some testimonies, but it's really fellowship and prayer, and we call it prayer jam. So it's prayer jam.
I like that.
Some music and prayer, and time of just reflecting about the month, how the month has been for you.
Right.
What did God speak to you in the last month. Well, what are you believing God for in this month coming up?
So, what's the age range for those overnights?
We're having between 15-year-olds to 25, 26.
Okay.
So you're looking at high school and college mixed.
Yeah, mixed up. That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right, man.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's food.
There's food.
Come on.
Snacks. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Christians love to eat,
you
man.
You gotta have that.
We love to eat.
Got some pink lemonade, too, because that's...
Pink lemonade. Oh, you know what? I'm coming to one of these right now. That's it. I put my foot down. Me, Christine and I have to attend one of these nights.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
And so out of that, you know, we kind of just started thinking, you know what? We need to do more because we're realizing there's so much that God has put inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
We've got gifts. We've got talents. Plus
right.
The calling of God
right.
That beckons on us every day. And we know there's something bigger that we can do. And one night in my bedroom, just thinking about God, I was thinking and asking him at the same time. I know it's hard to picture that, but that's what was happening.
Okay.
And ask God, what can we do to get to this young people? And it wasn't out of my own doing, like, okay, what can I do? It was more of like, Lord, what can you use me to do? And the Lord just put this on my heart. Go talk to your brother. If he can do a 2-3 minute video of you sharing the word, and then Kennedy, and then Mary, and do it like a weekly thing.
Right.
And just talk about salvation, talk about love, talk about... And I bring it up to my brother, Josh, who's a producer, and he's a photographer and videographer as well.
And listen, that Josh is an extremely, extremely gifted producer, cameraman, videographer.
Yep.
I've seen him in action.
Mm-hmm.
He knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, having a bit of a background in that myself.
Right.
He knows his stuff, man.
Yep. Totally. And, you know, just out of that talking, then he just jumps on it and he says, okay, I'll do it. Because he's, you know, he doesn't talk much. So if he likes it, he'll say yes. If he doesn't, say no.
That's it. Don't you wish people could be like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Life is so much easier that way.
I know.
Way.
Just tell me no. Yeah. I'd rather you tell me no than yes and you never show up to something.
Exactly.
Especially when you need it.
Exactly. Man. So he just says, well, yeah, I'll do it. And so we set up our first set. And it's really just a simple set in my bedroom.
That first video was shot in your bedroom?
Yep, right behind you. You can see it's orange.
Oh, yeah, the orange wall.
Yep.
You guys don't even know. This is good stuff, man.
Yeah.
I never would have known. And having a background myself, I was totally like, oh, this man must have like a nice, like a sweet looking studio.
Yeah.
It's called your house.
It is. It is called my house.
That's amazing.
And what's really crazy, when we painted the house.
Yeah.
It was just this crazy idea that we had in our minds. My older brother came just one day and figured, I'm going to paint your room orange. And I'm thinking, okay, that's nice. And he comes in, my brother Nick, he comes in and he paints the room orange and the half of it brown. So it's an orange and a brown.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, this is a real nice interior design. You could probably just look at it and feel good, you know.
Sure, absolutely.
But then it turns out to be this thing that's perfect for video.
Yeah.
And that becomes the first video. Then we do those for about 3 videos, and into it, this idea or this thought, it comes that, how about you do an interview?
Mm.
And the first person that came to mind was Jason Ballack.
Oh, now you guys know Jason B. Come on.
Yep.
Benja. All right.
Is that his, like, other name?
He's gonna beat me when he hears it. He says, yo, my name is Benja. Like when he does his rapping.
Right.
He's
is that
really
like a stage name or something?
I think it's a rapping name.
Yeah,
rapper's name.
Yeah.
Name, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know anything about rapping. I want to be a rapper, but I'm so bad at it.
Yeah, you'll just rather watch. And
so
just
wait,
enjoy
so
it.
Jason was the first interview you guys did?
Yep.
I never would have guessed that.
Yep.
And that was already on our site. You guys have already seen that. If you haven't, it's on our site. It's also on our YouTube. I think it's on our YouTube. I gotta check that out. I think it's on our
YouTube. It's liked on your YouTube, so if they go to YouTube, it's there. Because you liked it.
Oh, okay, yeah. You can check it out.
So you can check it out. But great success. First interview we did came out great.
Yeah,
really good. Great feedback from it.
Yeah.
And now we launch into doing interviews at least once a month.
Nice.
And now we just did you and Christina. And that was just fabulous.
That was so much fun.
We're really looking forward to doing more with you guys. Cause
hey, we're there, man. We're linking arms. And you know what? We're fellowshipping together.
Absolutely. Yep.
But there's power in that because it really, the word fellowship, and actually I found this out from my wife, it means to partner.
Mm-hmm.
So A History with God and Youth Avenue TV are partnering up because...
Absolutely.
Listen, yes. A History with God, we didn't really have anything for youth. Nothing against them. Exactly. It's not like we don't like the youth. Exactly. We're anti-youth, and we're not going to have the youth.
No, we just didn't. We just didn't have
it. We just didn't have it, yeah.
But then Youth Avenue TV comes along, and you have something we could use. We have something you can use. It's awesome stuff. That's how God works.
And I'm telling you, brother, I believe that A History with God will definitely impact this generation in a powerful way through the media. And our connection, our relationship here will strengthen that front. So I see you guys doing great videos. The potential that this ministry has, ahistorywithgod.com, and A History with God Ministries is boundless.
Hallelujah, because it has the Holy Spirit in it.
Yep,
just absolutely. Like Youth Avenue TV.
By the Spirit.
Just like Youth Avenue. Well, you guys were with us at the National Day of Prayer last Thursday, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Absolutely.
Joash showed his true gifting with the video.
Right.
So I see what you're saying, because it already took place.
Absolutely.
It's already showing itself, our partnership, as being a godly one that cannot be broken.
It can.
Amen?
Absolutely.
Because if it isn't God, it'll fall apart.
Yep, you got it.
But if it is God,
you can't break it.
Oh,
you can't break it. You dare not break it.
Don't even try.
Yeah.
You're going to hurt yourself.
Yep. That's right. Yep.
So Youth Avenue TV now is going to be a year old this November. November of 2013 will be 1 year old.
Yep.
We started our ministry in November of 2011.
Oh, check that out.
Interesting. We started our ministry in November of 2011. Wow. We did our 1 year anniversary podcast in November of 2012. We told our whole story.
Right.
And now here it is coming up on another November, which will be this year. We're in partnership with you guys, but you just started your ministry while we were doing our 1 year anniversary podcast.
Beautiful.
That's so cool.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up, man.
No, you can't. It's so strategic. It's God. I mean,
it is.
You can't plan that.
Not at all.
We didn't even know each other back then.
No.
We just kind of connected along the way, and now we're here. And
We met through Jason. Because Jason is affiliated with us.
Right.
You know, he writes our devotions on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
And he also does some podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great. People love him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does those songs.
That's right.
Jesus Creator. And then he was telling me and Christina about a student of his and how she hooked him up with Joash.
Right.
Or with you.
It was she hooked him up with Joash. Mary.
Well, Mary.
Yes.
She hooked him up with Joash. They had a song they did, and then which was Jesus Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get him on the show. Mary interviews him. He tells me about you guys. I said, I got to see this thing. And then here we are. Simple as that.
Amazing.
We couldn't have orchestrated that.
No.
It's way too involved.
No.
We're not that smart.
No.
And but with the Holy Spirit, we know all things.
That's right. We do. And amazing enough, you say that, we've been praying that God connects us with the right people in this area to reach out to the youth. God is doing what he says he would do.
Amen.
And he's connecting, and we're in fellowship for such a great time.
Absolutely.
Coming up.
James, tell me a little bit about how you first got saved.
I was a 10-year-old kid. It was probably very annoying. My mom was saved. My dad was not saved.
Okay.
So my mom would take me to church with the rest of my family. My family was kind of like half members were saved and half members were not saved, kind of a thing going on.
Right.
And we go to church and my mom nudges me when the pastor says, if anybody wants to come to Christ, come forward. And I'm looking at him like, okay. Why should I go forward? Can I just say the prayer here? And my mom just nudges me, go, go, go. And I'm like, oh, mom, I don't want to. And she just nudges me again, like a second time. I'm like, I don't want to go. And the third time was resurrection. I just got up and
okay,
I went forward, slowly dragging my feet, all shy and nervous. And, you know, because it was a 100-member church and it was kind of like nerve-wracking.
You feel like all eyes are on you.
Yeah, all eyes are on me, and I think it was just me and I think my cousin. I don't know where she came from, but she went forward too, and we just both met at the front of the church, and I guess he led us through a prayer of salvation, and I remember saying that prayer, and then they told me that I was saved, because I still didn't understand what I just did.
Okay, yeah.
But they told me that I'm saved, and that means that I'm going to heaven.
I was going to say, did you even know what I'm saved even means?
Well, he did his best to explain it.
Okay.
But a 10-year-old mind, I mean, I could barely grasp the whole idea of Jesus coming and dying for me and all that.
Okay.
But in my heart, it felt great. I remember that. in my heart, I felt so good. It's like something great has just happened. I don't know how to put it in words, but it's so good. And then I had about 2 years of just struggling. Saved, going to church, you know, born again, but struggling. Just struggling with music, struggling with peer pressure, just struggling.
Yeah.
You know, that's what teenagers go through a lot of times, struggle.
Sure.
With the Christian walk. But then right about 12, I kind of started thinking, you know, more about my spiritual life and kind of took it more seriously. So I'd go to prayer meetings during the week.
Right.
Go to Bible studies and kind of got deeper in the word and in prayer.
Cool.
And out of that, I began preaching at 12.
Nice.
So I was in Sunday school, but I was the oldest kid in Sunday school.
Okay.
And they had a Sunday school Sunday where all the kids would go and, you know, lead the service. So the kids would do the praise and worship. And
like
the
a
kids
youth service.
Yeah, Sunday school Sunday.
Right.
And my teacher at that time said, so we need somebody to preach. And I'm like, yeah, we need somebody to preach. And she looks around and she points right at me and says, you're preaching. I said, no, me? Why? And I look back like, why me?
Where's my cousin?
He says, well, I think you can do it. I'm like, okay, you know, I trust you. You've been there for me.
Sure.
You give me candy every Sunday. So,
yeah, why not? You give me the candy.
You know, I kind of pay you back by preaching. I don't know, something. But so I say, yeah. Okay, so now the 2 weeks between that time and when I actually preach was amazing. Because then I had to actually prepare a message that I've never prepared before.
Sure.
And my mom kind of helped me through it. Thank God for mom. Thank God for moms. They're awesome. And I stood up on that day, nervous, right before I got up on the stage. Nervous. When I got on the stage, because I said a prayer right before I got on the stage. When I got on the stage, boldness.
It just came out.
It just came on me. This like a boldness just came out of me and on me. And the nervousness and everything, gone. And I was 12 years old.
Let me ask you a question. You said that you had 2 years of struggling there, right?
Yep.
You got saved at 10, struggled for 2 years with the Christian walk. 12, you're preaching.
Yep.
Was there any point in those 2 years where you started becoming consistent with fellowshipping with the Father and getting in His presence on a consistent basis?
I'm glad you bring that up because, yes, that's exactly what happened. I started praying every night on my knees by my bed before I go to sleep.
Okay.
And I'll spend roughly maybe 20 to 30 minutes every night with the Word. Probably before I go to pray, I'll read the Word, then pray, and then go to sleep. But it was every night.
Can I submit something to you?
Yep.
I believe it was during that time that that boldness was being conceived. And when you preached is when that boldness got birthed. It didn't just come on you.
That's right.
It didn't. I got news for you. People say to me sometimes, Frank, pray for a spirit of boldness. There's no such thing as a spirit of boldness. God doesn't have boldness to give you. Yep. I want holy boldness.
Right.
What does that even mean?
Right.
Listen, you and Mary have a relationship.
Right.
I may know about Mary, but you know Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
True.
I can't go into a room and start talking about Mary as if I know her, because I don't. I don't have a relationship with her. So I can't speak boldly about her. But I'll tell you what, you could. If someone said something about Mary, first of all, watch out.
Yeah.
Because if James is in the room,
I'll have something to say.
And he'll tell you boldly.
Yeah.
Why? Because you may know about Mary, but he knows Mary.
Exactly.
You knew about God when you were 10, just getting saved, but you didn't know God. And it was only in that time, James, that you spent on your knees, that you went from knowing about God to knowing God.
That's right.
And then you started rising up saying, you know what?
That's right. That's right.
And it came out. And it came out. It's funny to me, though, that what stands out in that experience for you is that you experienced boldness.
Yep.
That's what stands out to you in that memory.
Yep.
It says something about relationship, man.
That's right. I mean, the boldness just came out. I declared the word, and I sat down, and I thought to myself, this looked way harder than I thought. Because by the Spirit, He made it simple. He made it easier. Right before I got up on that stage, it looked like the hardest thing you can ever do. After the stage, sitting down, it looked like I can do this over and over and over again.
And then you're hungry to do it. Then you want to do it.
So then after that, from that point, every time they had a Sunday school Sunday or a youth Sunday or something, it would be me to preach. I was hungry for it.
Okay.
And I was ready for it. And, you know, So out of that experience of serving God at a young age, God did a lot in my life in my teenage years that I can't pay anything for. That's just by His grace. I mean, He just radically got a hold of me, even when I was not giving Him an easy time.
Okay.
Because we all give God a hard time. When I got to high school, I had this urge to get into a relationship with a girl. And it was kind of like, you know, I was burning with this passion to have a relationship with a girl. But every time I would want to get into a relationship with a girl, the Lord would actually just stop me. He wouldn't say to me, don't do it.
Right, right.
But every time it would just be right before I would actually ask the girl out. It's like something came right in between us. It was like a wall. And looking back, I asked myself, why would God do this?
Right.
But then out of that, I realized God was keeping me. He preserved me from danger because I had a weakness and He knew that weakness. You're weak in the area of girls and you might be led astray. You might forget me. Mm. So I'm going to keep you from that. And I'm going to keep you mine. You're going to be mine. All through my teenage years, those times that I thought I was totally a loser because Friday nights I'm home by myself. Uh-huh. Guys in school don't want to hang out with somebody who can't even get a girl. I'll be honest with you. They're like, man, you can't even get a girl? I mean, what kind of guy are you?
Right.
I mean, yeah. So it was sad because I was just home and like I'm like, God, like really? Like this is what you're going to do to me?
Gee, thanks, Lord.
Like, I'm 15, 16 and oh man, I'm like... But then, the biggest blessing I would say during those years was my older brother, Nick. He was always home in those times. He could discern that I'm going through, you know, what I was going through.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. And he would just be like, hey, you want to go out? And he would take me out, and we'll spend like, like 2-3 hours out there. Mm. You know, buy me a cup of coffee or take me, you know, just do something outside of my usual. And he would just talk about life. Just talk about life, talk about God, and then he'll bring up the Lord and the Word and living for Jesus and how he lived for Jesus when he was young.
Thank you, Lord, for Nick.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And all of a sudden, I didn't feel that bad anymore. I felt like, hey, I'm not a loser. Man, you know what? I'm not missing out on anything.
Right. Let's go paint your room already.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I would say my teenage years were a challenge, but God made them sweet. It was bitter in the beginning, but towards the end, I was so glad I did it, because out of that was born a youth ministry.
Oh, hallelujah.
At 18, I was a youth minister.
18 years old.
At 18 years old, I was a youth minister in church, leading the group.
Really? So 6 years after you preached for the first time, 6 years later, boom, you're a youth pastor.
Yep. That's kind of been my life. All through those years, into my 20s, and even now.
How old are you now?
I'm 26 now.
You're 26. Check this out. 10 years old, you get saved.
Right.
26 years old, 16 years later, you're running not only a YouTube channel, which is going to rock the world, I'm telling you right now.
Right.
You have once a month a sleepover, an all-night prayer lockdown kind of thing.
Right.
Right? And a teleconference every week.
Yep.
Every Tuesday nights.
Yep.
Dude, 16 years is not a long time. You ain't seen nothing yet.
That's right.
The Lord can do it with a willing vessel.
Absolutely.
I love that after 2 years after getting saved, you start preaching, and then like another 6 years goes by, and now you're a youth pastor, and now you, dude, it's exciting. It's very exciting.
Absolutely. And it's all by God's grace. Because I look at myself and I say, that's not me. I can't do that. I'm too weak to do that. But by God's grace and by His regenerative power.
Okay.
And the resurrection power of Christ.
Which is where?
Which is in my heart.
Okay, inside you.
Inside of me.
All right.
Then now I became aware that I'm not the old James. I'm a new creature.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And so there's a new man coming out of me. And God speaking through me. What an honor it is for God to use you. I mean, it's the greatest honor. I've thought of every career in every field out there. I've thought of everything that anybody can do.
Hallelujah.
The greatest honor is that God would speak through you.
Amen.
The creator of everything. The maker of all things. The one who never dies and will never die. Mm-hmm. The one who created life, created existence itself.
He exists outside of existence.
Exactly. It's just like, wow. You know? You know, I've heard lines like, God's not power, He is power. Mm. God doesn't heal, He is healing.
Right. He is...
healing.
Yes.
He is love.
Yeah, he is love. God is not wise. He is wisdom.
Wisdom. Exactly. Wisdom is a person.
Exactly.
Wisdom is a person.
Yep. Yep.
But you do have a part to play.
Oh, yeah.
Because he gave you free will.
Yep.
Praise God.
So we're coming through this podcast, and it's a lampstand.
Amen.
The light is coming straight out of it, but it's not the stand that's making the difference. It's the light that's on that stand.
Hear this a minute. James is going to repeat that. Listen to this.
It's not the stand. It's the light on that stand that makes a difference.
That is a nugget, right? I'm going to tweet that.
Yep.
That's a good tweet. That's really good. That's rich.
Yeah. And Jesus said, in Matthew, he says, you are the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Mm.
He says, who takes a lamp and puts it under a basket?
Exactly.
But puts it on a lampstand.
So everyone can see it.
Everybody can see it.
What has the Lord shown you in Youth Avenues TV's future?
I saw clearly in meditation, receiving from the Lord about Youth Avenues TV, the giants of faith, men that have impacted many lives, coming on Youth Avenues TV and declaring the truth. Hmm. The Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God, the unwatered down Word of God.
Mm.
The other thing I saw is a lot of youth, young people, teenagers, high school students, college students, responding finally responding to the gospel. Kids that don't go to church, don't care for church, have probably been kicked out of church or don't like church, or they just have a misconception of church, will actually listen to what God has to say to them through Youth Avenues TV. In YouTube, the biggest channels right now that are leading channels have one thing in common, whether they're secular or not, is humor. Everybody's stressed out. People are stressed out in general.
Okay.
Unless they're in Christ.
Right.
People stressed out in general. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of bad things happening. People are sad. People are going through a lot. People are medicated. There's all this stuff happening. We'll make them laugh. They can relax, laugh, and learn about God in the most unique way, without a struggle, straight from the Word of God.
No pressure.
No pressure.
And you know, the Bible does say that laughter is good like a medicine.
Yeah, it is good like a medicine. That's right. So people that...
So it's scriptural.
Yeah. We have 4,000 teenagers committing suicide every day. If not actually committing suicide, they're attempting it.
Oh my goodness.
But their suicide rates are crazy. They're absolutely crazy. I mean, teenagers are in doom. And the body of Christ and the Holy Spirit are the only solution to this mess.
That's
And God is using his body right now to minister to this generation in a powerful way.
Well, he has to use the body.
Yeah.
We're the only ones with the solution.
Exactly.
We are.
Yep.
Hey, we have a special treat for you guys. Coming up very, very soon, we're going to do Christina and myself interviewing James and the elusive Mary from Youth Avenues TV. It's going to be four of us. It's going to be our first time. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be great.
I mean, as you can see on the interview, Christina makes me look like I'm sleeping. I say it all the time.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting chat.
Right.
They are going to help change the world. So until next week, stay blessed.
Questions. You have them. Let's open up the mailbag in today's Godcast Q&A.
Wow. I cannot believe a month has gone by already.
Nope, it's May.
It's quick.
It's going fast.
It's just a month ago that we were doing the Godcast Q&A for April.
And now it's May.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank and Christina coming at you with the Godcast Q&A for May. Let's get right into this. We have some reviews. Did Keith really write a book about humility? If so, where can I get it? Well, fortunately enough, we have Keith to answer that question. Keith, did you really write a book about humility? If so, where can people get it?
I actually did not, but I do believe that's prophetic, that I will be writing a book, and you'll be the first to know.
Thank you, Keith. Next question. I always heard Luke chapter 8 preached about salvation.
What a great new twist on the parable. Why are the stories Jesus told all broken up in the Bible? It seems to make so much more sense when seen all together. I quite agree. Unfortunately, the way the Bible was translated in many different translations and versions, the translator, I guess, just chose to break up the
stories rather than into one long event.
Everything
seems disjointed rather than Jesus was talking about the same thing. Like, a lot of times when you read the parables, it sounds like, oh, here's a story he told about this. Then he told another story about this.
Right.
But if you look at it as a whole, it's saying, oh, wait a minute. This goes back to what he was saying before that.
Right.
And then it starts to make more sense. And then it doesn't take on the same meaning that many of us used to believe it took on.
Because the story about, in Luke 8, there was a podcast I did a few weeks ago, is that the sower went to sow some seed, and then it goes into the story about the lampstand, and then it goes into the story about Jesus falling asleep in the boat. That's all one related thing. And people see that as three separate things, and it's so not. I agree with this listener that it does take on a whole new meaning.
Right.
You know?
I think if you also read the Bible knowing something about the history of what was going on at the time and what people believed at the time, it opens it up more. And the Bible is a living word, so it'll always show you something new if you're reading it along with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I agree. Well, there's a question here for you.
Okay.
Christina said in the Dominator Godcast... The Dominator God.
I'm the Dominator.
The Dominator. Watch out. Christina said in the Dominator Godcast that when she walks into a room, she brings the kingdom of God with her because she dominates. Question. Does Christina ever have people in that quote-unquote room come against her? And if so, how does she handle opposition in that quote-unquote room?
Yes, I do have opposition.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
You?
Well, the thing is, first of all, when I say we dominate, and I think I said this on the podcast, it's not, we're not in competition with Satan.
Yeah, you did say that.
He's already defeated. So we dominate him. He's under our feet. There's no like, oh, the war against good and evil. No. Evil is undone. Jesus finished him. And he said he's a conqueror, but we are more than conquerors. So we get the benefits of that battle without having to go through the battle that Jesus went through.
Mm.
So he did everything we benefit from.
Amen.
So we dominate.
Okay.
All right. So the question is, how do I handle the opposition?
Yeah, well, number one, if you have people come against you, which you just said yes.
Absolutely.
How do you handle opposition if you're a dominator? How do you handle that?
All right. Very difficult at times to do. But you have to keep in mind, you're not coming against a person. You're coming against the spirit that's operating in or through that person. I don't ever condemn people, curse people, hate people,
go after people,
dominate people. I am going after the spirit that is operating through them to try and lie to me or intimidate me or come against me in any way. So please understand, I'm not coming against people. Although the enemy can use people, you always have to keep in mind, don't fight with flesh and blood. It's not a flesh and blood battle. This is a spiritual battle. That's how you have to keep it. You have to keep it in the spirit. So I never attack anybody. Well, let me not say that. I don't want to lie. Because maybe, you know, hey, I make mistakes, and I probably do attack people, like argue with people and so on and so forth. But that's not the godly thing to do. The more godly thing to do is to just stay quiet, pray in the spirit, ask the Holy Spirit what to do, how to do it, and how to proceed. The word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every lying tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I shall condemn. So the word says, I can condemn every lying tongue. I can condemn the lie.
Condemn the lie.
I'm not condemning people.
Right.
I'm condemning the lie of Satan. Amen. So that lie could be against my character, could be against my finances, it could be somebody spreading gossip about me or slandering me, it could be someone trying to usurp my position in maybe the realm of my job or with friendships, undermining me in some way. That's a, you know, you're dealing with people. We're living in a world with people, and we are people. And we make mistakes, we do foolish things, we say foolish things, we go about things in a foolish way. And you have to try and always keep in the forefront, this is not about the person. This is about the enemy trying to attack me. And I have found, and this I can say honestly, every single time I have, for lack of a better word, attacked someone with love,
right,
the situation has completely turned around.
Every single time.
Every single time. Either the person backs down, the person disappears, the person has a change of heart,
right,
the relationship gets better, or the relationship just dies and I never hear from this person again. Either way, I benefit.
Yeah.
Right. So the situation resolves itself.
Right.
And what I mean by attacking it with love, meaning, instead of taking the positions, well, I'll get that so-and-so, and I'll tell them a thing or two, and I'll go over their head, and I'll go to their boss, and I'll go tell my friends. Instead of doing that,
yeah,
go to the person and be honest, and yeah, and just say, hey, you know, I love you. Or just say, hey, let's get something to eat. Hey, can I take you out for a cup of coffee? I don't know what the situation might be for you, but right, all of these things I have done. I've said to people, hey, why don't you come with us to the diner? We're all going out.
I remember one person in particular you said that to, and I'm like, why are you inviting her?
And that person ended up being a very sweet, dear friend.
Yes.
So that's that's how I always try. Please understand, I don't always get it right, but that's what I found to work 100% of the time. Do I do it 100% of the time? No. But when I have, it has always reaped a good reward. Amen. You sow in love, you reap in love.
Amen.
And you'll always benefit. So that's how you dominate when you walk into a room.
Keith Axum is back up to bat.
Woo-hoo.
Okay, Keith, here's another one for you, buddy. Concerning the What Are You Thinking podcast, how do we then get out of a current sin that we're in? How do we just realize that it's just done? I'm not trying to sound like a jerk. I just really want to get this. Keith, take it away.
Well, this is getting out of a sin that we're in. In other words, if you're sinning, if you're having a problem with something, you know, we as Christians, we do have problems with things. We will sin even though we're not sinners. We don't sin like the world sin. I mean, we were sinners. Now we're the righteousness of God. We're saved by grace. But how do we get out of a current sin that we're in? I say that you make a decision there. You already have a union with the Holy Spirit. So between your willpower and the Holy Spirit helping you with that, that you get past that, you repent, you move on. Some things will hang on longer than others. The devil will try to tell you you're still the old person, but you're not. Your old man was crucified with Christ, and now we're dead to sin, so we don't have to walk in that anymore. I mean, you are already forgiven. You don't have to be conscious of that. That's what the podcast was all about. You don't want to walk around with a sin consciousness. But if you are struggling with something, you know, get some brothers, pray with you, agree with the Holy Spirit that that is behind you, and move forward.
Well, Christina,
mm-hmm,
Keith is up again.
Okay.
Because there's another question here.
To see that people have really enjoyed that podcast.
Well, Keith was on fire in that podcast.
And you know he'll be back.
Yes, he will. I can't stop him now if I tried. I may have to have JJ do a whole, and now special guest host, Keith Axum. No, it's not going to be the Tonight Show music, although Keith does love that. Keith, Jane has a question. Okay, Keith, I have a question for the Godcast you did about What Are You Thinking? How do I sin and still be able to say that I'm righteous? Or better yet, how do I explain that to someone who was always in a place of sin consciousness and they're saved that God sees them as okay? Does that make sense? Jane, it makes perfect sense. So much so, I'm going to have Keith answer it.
Hi, this is Keith and Teresa Axum. We're in the mailbag from History of God Ministries, and so I'm going to defer this one to my wife. Why don't you take that one, hon?
I think the best way that I could answer it for myself would, you know, if you go back into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And basically the way it was explained to me is when Jesus died on the cross, we kind of switched places. We gave him our sin, and he gave us his righteousness. And so when we are saved, our spirit becomes brand new and whole. We have the same DNA as Jesus. However, carnally, our soul, we still have that flesh part that needs to be renewed. And the whole Christian walk is about renewing the mind. And so when you get to that place, or if you're trying to explain to someone, I'm sinning, or I have this sin that I'm dealing with, the first step is just to begin to get into the Word and begin to even look at yourself in the mirror and talk to yourself that you are the righteousness of God. You are no longer the sinner. You are a new creation. And when the devil comes at you and says, you know what, you really messed up again and you never know good, you can just say, praise God, Jesus took my sin and he made me righteous and I am the righteousness of God. Begin to just renew your mind. And honestly, it's just about practicing. It's about getting into the Word and speaking the Word, and by practice and not allowing yourself to be condemned. The Word says that now there's no condemnation in God. And so, God does not condemn us. Our own soul, our own flesh condemns us, but God does not condemn us. Anytime you have those emotions or feelings that you're feeling condemned, cast that off. The Bible says to take every thought captive, cast that off, and begin to just say, I am the righteousness of God. Thank you, Jesus, that, you know, you have forgiven me. And of course you want to acknowledge that, you know, you could just say, Lord, I'm sorry I messed up, but I accept your forgiveness, and just walk through that and just continue on to do that. And I think that would go for anybody or someone who may just be struggling with sin in general. If you can begin to just see yourself as the righteousness of God, in time, that renewing of the mind, you're going to begin to see yourself in a different place.
Christina.
Yeah.
You have a question here from Christina.
Oh.
This is Christina for Christina. The blessing in the Garden of Eden is for us now? How? Please explain.
Well, it's really simple. Before Adam was disobedient, he had every blessing in the garden.
Right.
He fell by his disobedience and havoc ensued.
Right.
But God had a plan. God had a plan with his only begotten son, Jesus, to get everything back.
Okay.
So when Jesus came to the earth, sacrificed his deity, he's still God,
right,
but came and took on the personage of a human being, as of a man, when he did that and was on this earth for 33 years, took the stripes, went to the cross, went to hell, he took back the keys, he took his crown, and he marched out victorious, leading the captives from captivity. What Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, Jesus redeemed on the cross and going to hell. So that means that every single thing that was lost, the fellowship with the Father,
right,
the blessing,
right,
the health, the dominion, the authority, the grace, all of that was back in right standing. Our righteousness was reestablished by what Jesus did when he was on the earth.
Adam had everything he needed in the garden.
Everything.
So everything was provided for.
Everything was provided for.
Which means that now we also have provision for everything.
Exactly. So we should be living the way Adam was living in the garden, in the glory of God.
In the glory.
He was clothed in the glory of God.
Amen.
They walked together. They fellowshiped together. Every need was met. There was no sickness. There was no poverty. God gave him dominion over the animals, to name, to have authority over them. It was a perfect paradise.
Yeah.
And we should be living that in that, as Christians, as the righteousness of God today on this earth. Now, the problem is we're living in a fallen world.
Mm,
okay, we're not right. Living in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Because the world is still suffering from the influence of the enemy.
The effects of sin.
Right, the effects of sin. Right. However, we as Christians, we as the righteousness of God, should be living our lives as if we were in the Garden of Eden. That means no sickness, no poverty, in right standing with God, righteousness, authority, dominion, and so on. I hope that answers your question.
Amen. So, Chris, did you have a good time at National Day of Prayer?
Oh, we had such a nice time. We were in, well, I met everybody in Trenton at the State House, and we were there with Youth Avenue TV.
Youth Avenue! Woohoo!
And our friends Jared and Elena and their children. And Jason met us there. And
Benja was there. Tim was there. Tim, what you focus on gets bigger. McDonald was there.
He was there. We met some other folks that...
Parthenia Dixon.
Parthenia and another pastor that we knew was there, Ken Smith. So it was a wonderful day in Trenton. Actually, I reconnected with my hairdresser.
That's right.
This sounds crazy, but I was trying to get in touch with her. She had said she was going to move to Colorado. I called her. She never got back to me, so I assumed she moved to Colorado. And there was a salon open. I walk in, and poof, there she is. Mm. We led her to the Lord. She believed in God, but she didn't really, you know, speak about Jesus, so we led her in the sinner's prayer, and she accepted that, and now I can go and get my hair cut there again. I was just, you know, I didn't like the way I left off with her, not because we left off badly, but it was just like she was there one day, and then I never got to say goodbye or anything like that. So
it fell through that she moved.
Right, so I know that was a divine appointment. So that was very cool. And I know other people were touched that day because we kind of went out into the streets.
Yeah.
And actually, some good news is a lot of the people we talked to were already saved. Like, we asked the question that Riley asks, would you know where you would go if you were to die today? Not that you would.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, heaven. I so you're a believer in Jesus? Yes, I am.
Right.
So
right.
That was good news.
That was cool.
There's a
that
lot of cool. Of saved brothers and sisters walking around the streets of Trenton. We got to hang out with Youth Avenue TV, James and Mary and Kennedy and Joash. We had a little mini road trip.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun driving all squished in James's car. Thank you, James, for letting us drive down in your vehicle.
James!
We took a ride down to Camden, and then we scooted over to Atlantic City and
Trump Plaza.
We met up again with Parthenia and her group, and we led a Muslim gentleman
land
to the Lord. Got to pray for another woman, and Parthenia actually had a prophetic word for her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, a lot of cool stuff. So, we have some pictures of that, and
well,
we have video of that. I'm sorry.
Was that... The listeners will get to see a video, sort of like a... you know, like a wrap-up, like a little brief video of what went down that day that History of God Ministries and Youth Avenue put together. So that'll be up on the site soon. But we will have pictures up there. I believe they're up there. They are. They're on the website now. You can actually go and check them out now. There are some pictures up there. But the video is coming soon.
So it kicked off in Mount Holly, and then we started to head home from Atlantic City.
Atlantic City, right.
And
it was cool.
It was very... What was fun, too, was that while we were in the car, the guys and Mary were introducing us to a whole new realm of Christian music.
Yes.
Which I didn't even know was out there.
Yeah, really.
So they're going to be sharing that with us.
Hold on to your seats, because Youth Avenue TV, man, is hitting the spot.
They are such a cool group of strange cats.
Yeah, poodles and strange cats. You hear that, James? I know you're listening, buddy.
Yes.
Anyway, so the reason I bring by the way, and James and Mary and Kennedy and Joash, when they got to Atlantic City, they were fascinated by Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Well, they had never been, and they didn't quite get, like, what is this place? So, like, we had to use the ladies' room, and we went into Trump Plaza, and it was like, you know, when you walk in there, it's like slot machines.
Right, that's right.
The blackjack tables,
what
and Mary was like, what is this place?
Where am I? The reason I even bring this up is because we got a review from somebody that says this. This kind of like, I was a little like, oh, three of my friends and I were going to come up from Maryland for the National Day of Prayer, and now we can't because we can't get off work. Obviously, this is before.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Bummer, in all caps. Are you guys going to do it again next year? Can we take a loan with you guys? Please let us know on Q&A. John, Lindsay, Ramirez, and Ray. Well, John, Lindsay, Ramirez, and Ray,
Hi. We
will be doing it next year. Yes.
Yes.
We will be hooking up again with Parthenia. We have a very cool relationship. And, yeah, we could use your help, and we would love to hang out and
pray. And we also had this other idea. How about if maybe like a month or so before the National Day of Prayer,
yes, we, talk about
we get everybody from different states to do like a 30-second video,
yes,
and tell us what are you doing in your town,
right,
for the National Day of Prayer.
What are you doing? Don't worry about what we're doing. What are you doing?
And then that would be so cool to put it up on our website. And if people came to our website and said, oh, I wonder if anything's going on in Phoenix, Arizona. And they could click on Arizona and see, oh, hey, look, they're doing something downtown Phoenix.
I'm going to,
you know, or in, I don't know, Key West, Florida. Hey, oh, click on Florida.
I wonder what they were doing in Key West, Florida.
I don't know.
My only request is that if you shoot a video and you send it to us and you're shooting it on your phone, please turn your phone sideways when you shoot the video. Please. That's all I ask. Don't hold it up and down. Hold it left to right.
I don't even know what that means.
Hold it horizontally.
Hold it like you hold a phone, or hold it like you hold a picture, like a landscape. Landscape or portrait?
Landscape. No okay. Portrait. Landscape.
Ah, okay.
Wide. Horizontal.
Okay, gotcha.
That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
And don't shoot directly into the sun either.
And you know what I really like? I think that, well, Parthenia definitely had a word from the Lord about what to do on the National Day of Prayer. And it was really so brilliant because we did it 1 year and we went to the State House. And it was, for me, it was very interesting because I'd never been to the State House.
Right.
But basically, we're in the room where the assembly people meet. And that was kind of cool. And they blew the shofar, and people got up and preached and prayed. But it was to other Christians. And I was like, okay, this is great. But what better way to celebrate the National Day of Prayer than to take it to the streets where people might need prayer? Like, hey, do you need prayer for anything? Oh, as a matter of fact, I do. Awesome. Like, it's just... So instead of preaching to the choir, you're actually out in the streets exactly. Preaching to the people who maybe have a need. And I thought that was great that Parthenia was obedient to that word from the Lord.
Yeah.
To do that.
It's so true. You're sitting in a room preaching to the choir. Meanwhile, people are outside going to hell.
Right. So that was... Or even if they're saved, but they're maybe, you know, need prayer.
Yeah. Need like to rededicate. Need to right. More like direction, ministry, whatever.
Right. So.
Amen. Well, that's the Godcast Q&A for this past month. We'll see you again in June.
Uh-huh.
But what?
It's going to be June so fast.
And it's not going to be hot.
Nope.
It's going to stay nice
just like
and cold.
This. Today is a beautiful day. 65, sun out.
In New Jersey.
Oh.
Well, until next week, gang.
Stay blessed!
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries, seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.